One Jew and Two Gentiles, Mel Brooks, Ronnie Graham, and Tom Meehan. I met Ronnie Graham a long time ago when we both did a musical review on Broadway, which was called New Faces of 1952, and I had a sketch in that, and Ronnie Graham was the host and the compere of the show. He was brilliantly funny and provided most of the sketches and stand-up material. And Ronnie's with me now, so if you hear a little giggle every once in a while, that's Ronnie Graham. That's him. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here with you. In case you switch from channel A to B and you want to catch the director's foolish comments, you're welcome. The music you're listening to was written by John Morris, who did 80 or 90% of all my films. A very, very talented musical composer and a wonderful guy to work with. Another Gentile. I got to get a couple of Jews. This is not working out. Anyway, the casting was particularly good on this movie. We got some wonderful people to work with. You'll see that in the leading roles. We got Mel Brooks, who got very little money to be an actor in this. He did it as a favor to the director. And the director got paid scale. He did it as a favor for the producer, whose name happened to be Mel Brooks, too. So, but the producer got a lot of money, I got to admit that, for doing this. The first shot after the satiric beginning, triangular beginning of the words leading to, if you can read this, you don't need glasses, was our egos were taking a flight of fancy. We figured when we sat in the room, Tom and Ronnie and I said, well, why don't we do what they did in Star Wars, only maybe to the zillionth degree. Let's make the longest spaceship in the history of space movies. And we nearly did it. I mean, I wanted to do just that for like an hour and a half of film, just have the ship never stop, just keep rolling. But reason prevailed because MGM said, you can't do that. We need a movie. We need a storyline. We need Princess Leia. We need people. So anyway, it was fun to write. Normally I write in my office with myself or another writer and so, but Ronnie and, oh, thank God we're coming to the end. It took about an hour and a half. I like that. We break for nobody. These are tough guys, these space balls. But we stayed at the Westwood Marquee Hotel. It took us roughly six months to write this thing, and we had a lot of fun doing it. I must say that we liked each other, we enjoyed the process, and we indulged ourselves. And we, our first script was around 247 pages, and that's how much we indulged ourselves. Although we worked very hard to get down to pay dirt, which was around 140 pages, and we made a movie that was roughly 2 hours and 19 or 2 hours and 20 minutes that we cut down to the running time that's on the movie now, which is roughly around 95 minutes, maybe 100 minutes. This entrance was done supremely well by a very talented actor. As I said before, the casting was superb in this. Rick Moranis, who did not mind playing a very short Darth Vader. Forgive me for laughing. I shouldn't laugh, but I mean, I like this guy. That was
to call him, sir. He knows everything.
What? You went over my helmet?
Went over my helmet. Well, not see, poor jokes work for me.
But more to the side. I'll always call you first.
The guy he's talking to is Sal Viscuso, who's a very funny actor and wonderful comic.
No.
Now he's putting on the secret ring, and you think he's going to aim for his head, but...
Yes. That.
He does a very very terrible thing to Sal Viscuso. That's George Weiner looking on. Another really sensational actor. It was a great ensemble company, and George Weiner was no small part in making it work.
Sanders!
Sir, I don't see Planet Druidia. Where is it?
We don't have visual contact yet, sir, but we have it on the radar screen.
Shall George is from Boston, and when we were doing the desert scenes, we were watching the World Series in Yuma, Arizona. George was the only one rooting for Boston because he's from Boston. We all hated him. But I remember that that series worked out in our favor anyway.
Everybody knows that.
Of course we do, sir!
Now that I have my coffee, I'm ready to watch Radar. Where is it?
Mr. Radar. Another cheap joke that I'm very proud of.
There it is, Planet Druidia. And underneath the air shield...
It's incumbent upon writers to provide a minimal amount of exposition. And this is it. You're listening to our exposition. It seems that they're running out of air.
By destroying Planet Druidia and saving Planet Spaceball.
Everybody Spaceball, see? See, he tells you.
Good. When will the princess be married?
Within the hour, sir.
Well, I hope it's a long ceremony, because it's going to be a short honeymoon.
It's... When I do period pictures... Now, this is a period picture because... He caught a lot of it in his helmet, unfortunately. When you do period pictures... Now, this is a strange period picture because it harkens back to an earlier fairy tale... kind of 14th century setting, and yet it's taking place in the future in space, and there's always a styrofoam cup. If you notice that Darth Vader was drinking from a styrofoam, because they leave styrofoam cups, the stagehands always leave them on the set anyway, so I figured, oh, what the hell, everybody should drink from one in case somebody leaves one on the set. You're looking at Dick Van Patten, who...
Here I am. I'm sorry, I had to make a
Who's a terrific guy, wonderful guy to work with, a lot of fun, a good actor. Daphne Zuniga, who I got from Rob Reiner from The Sure Thing, and she's beautiful and talented and funny. And Joan Rivers was wonderful. The woman inside making the moves was a woman by the name of Laureen Yarnell. That was Ronnie Graham, who's sitting next to me. Ronnie Graham, it was the space priest who was supposed to marry Daphne Zuniga to the man she hated. She did not want to marry this guy. By the way, the editing was in the hands of a wonderful man by the name of Conrad Buff IV, who helped me tremendously.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this most joyous occasion to witness Princess Vespa, daughter of King Roland, going right past the altar, heading down the ramp and out the door.
It's Ronnie Graham, like Red, like good old Red Barber or somebody.
Hey, wait!
That prince, by the way, Prince Valium, was played by Jim Bullock, who's a very talented guy and was very upset about the princess literally leaving him at the altar. These cost over $100 to build that and make this shot. We did it in my backyard with a couple of kids from Junior High School 28 who put all this together. Now, actually, to tell the truth, these concepts were rather brilliant, I thought. A Winnebago in space is quite a concept. They're very maneuverable, you know, on the road, but even more so in space, as you can see. And at the controls, oh, here we have the late, great, wonderful, talented John Candy, who was such a pleasure to work with him. And loved playing Barf, this half-dog, half-man character. Now, seated at the controls, is sleeping there, is Bill Pullman, who has gone on to become quite an important leading man. I love the way his ears go up. Anyway, it was really a treat. You know, normally I don't like to have lunch with the actors. They are animals, as you know. They're hard to eat with. But we used to have lunch every day, all of us, because we liked each other. We really liked each other.
Oh, sorry. I'm just throwing our audio here. That way they won't see you.
They switch on the video and they get Vinny, who's a space gangster. He's working for Pizza the Hut, who's a very, very tough space gangster. By the way, Rudy DeLuca has worked with me starting with, actually, way back. We started writing together on a movie called Silent Movie, a creation, an idea from Ron Clark. And Ron and Rudy DeLuca and Barry Levinson, the same Barry Levinson who directed Rain Man, and myself started writing that movie. We all went on to write High Anxiety, and Rudy and Steve Haberman, who did Life Stinks with me, also just completed Dracula, Dead and Loving It. Rudy's a very talented actor as well as writer. You're listening to the voice of Pizza the Hut, which is another old pal of mine, whom I love dearly, Dom DeLuise, who you can't see him clearly, but believe it or not, that's his voice anyway.
Charles Pizza is gonna send out for you.
So they're warning our pals here.
You're delicious.
I like that. You're delicious. I'm the only one who did like it, by the way. So now we have another wonderful special effect, a kind of transparent window of space in which the Winnebago is going out of into outer space. Oh, no, that's not the Winnebago. That's Princess. What am I talking about? That's the Princess. She is leaving planet Druidia.
Oh, we all know.
And,
she could have married him for your father's sake and then had a headache for the next 20 years.
She's run out on her wedding and she's in a lot of trouble because, she doesn't know what she's going to run into here. It was a pleasure to work with Daphne because she was smart and sweet and a pleasure to look at. And I love this joke of the, of her taking off her hair. They were earmuff radio cones, and she did a great job with it. Where are we? Space Pool City, yes. And here we meet probably the greatest actor of our time. I don't know who the guy was, but it was such a pleasure to work with him. Let's see. No air shortage whatsoever. Whoever he is, he's a liar.
Thanks for calling.
I loved wearing that little mustache. It reminded me of when I played Louis the 16th. Yeah, a little Perry air, you'll notice. And I was getting my my little version of it.
Yes. This is Central Control, Spaceball Commander at Zircon speaking.
President Scroob, is almost Brooks backwards. Actually, Brooks backwards is Scorb, but it's not as good as Scroob. That's why I got as close to Brooks backwards as I wanted to and still got a good name.
I don't know about that beaming stuff. Is it safe?
Oh, yes, sir. Snotty beamed me twice last night. It was wonderful.
Oh.
All right, I'll take a shot at it. What the hell, it works on Star Trek.
So we used Star Trek, we used Star Wars, we used as many space phenomenon, you know, as many space movie cliches as we could. There I go, I'm disappearing, I'm doing very well here. Uh-oh. The little a slight mistake. I had to build Donfeld, who was the costume designer, just built a backward suit for me to wear. Yeah. And of course we put a Scotch bonnet on our Scotty.
Tell me my ass was so big.
Yes, that was a cheap joke, but I got a big laugh.
Hold on, sir.
In theaters anyway. I don't know about people at home. Why didn't somebody tell me my ass was so big? And that was even cheaper. Shame, shame on this actor, whoever he is.
Lock three. Lock Loman.
Are you all right, Mr. President?
Fine, fine. No thanks to you.
We'll beam you back, sir.
Forget it. Forget it. No more beaming. This time I'm going to walk.
Look. I love it. It was a 4-foot walk, and I had to be beamed into this next, you know, room. I love my little, space salute.
Hello, Charlene.
I'm Marlene.
Hello, Marlene.
I'm Charlene.
Chew your gum.
Chew your gum.
Where's the
printer? Right there, sir.
They're all fun to work with. All these girls were fun, and a few of the boys were fun to work with, too.
Light leaks per minute.
Good, good. She's almost in our grasp. Tell Doc Helmut he must take the princess alive.
The plot thickens, literally. We've got to take the princess alive. We're going to use her for bait. The star fields were done, and the sets were done by a brilliant production designer. His name, Terrence Marsh. Terrence Marsh also designed To Be or Not to Be, directed by Alan Johnson, and also written by Ronnie Graham and Tom Meehan, who were both nominated for the Writers Guild Award that year. They didn't win it, but they came pretty close. And they're two wonderful writers, and I really enjoyed writing Spaceballs with them very much.
Sir, he's my cousin.
Who is he?
He's an asshole, sir.
I know that.
Oh, I like this
What's
joke.
His name?
That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major Asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole, too, sir. Gunner's mate, first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship, anyhow?
Yo!
It was a delight, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
That was a big joke, right? Remember that? We got a big laugh on that
Firing
one.
Firing assholes!
Yeah. So here we are, we're mimicking the kind of cliches that happen in space movies. It was a difficult task to write this movie because it was written on two levels. One level was just pure space satire. The other one was to write as pure and as sincere a fairy tale for youngsters as possible so that we wouldn't leave them out. And I think we more or less succeeded. Anyway, we did well at the box office and even better in video. And there was a big sell-through of this video to youngsters. So I think we were fortunate, you know, in that the space fairy tale worked.
A million?
Oh, you're starting to fade here. We're losing picture, Your Highness.
All right. I'll pay it. Only fine to save her.
All right, King, you just made a deal.
So I mentioned that Terrence Marsh did such a great job with the production design. It was photographed by Nick McLean. Nick McLean was wonderful, a wonderful guy to work with, understood the problems of this confined space movie, and gave me good angles and wonderful ideas. His chief operator was a guy by the name of Michael O'Shea, and Michael O'Shea was quick and fluid and a brilliant operator. I never forgot him. And then I saw his name as the director of photography on a show called Doogie Howser, and I liked what he did with Doogie's historical flashbacks. So when I was ready to make a movie called Robin Hood, Men in Tights, I called Mike, and he was free, and I made him my director of photography, and he went on to do, he did a beautiful job with that, and he did an even more brilliant job, I thought, with Dracula Dead and Loving It. So that's Michael O'Shea, who I met on this picture, Spaceballs, as the chief camera operator for Nick McLean, who was the wonderful director of photography.
We're not just doing this for money.
A guy that has a big hit, even as we speak today, I'm talking in terms of early 96, I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but in January 96, a big movie, that did very well at Christmas time, called Waiting to Exhale, was produced by Ezra Swerdlow, and Ezra was a sensational help to us as the co-producer of Spaceballs, and I met Ezra when I did a little movie that I'm very proud of called Life Stinks, and Ezra was the co-producer of that, too. A nice cheap joke by Jammed Your Radar, with actually using jam to jam your radar. And we come upon the personage of Michael Winslow. Michael Winslow was in Police Academy. I found him there, and he did tremendous sound effects. And so I had to use him in Spaceballs because he did all his own sound effects. I saved over $100. But he's very cute and adorable and a pleasure to work with. And all the guys on the show were fun, but Michael especially was a lot of fun to be with.
Don't need that private. We're right here. Now, what is it? Now, what is it? Let me go with the radar, sir. What's wrong with
Rick Rowers broke me up.
I lost the creeps.
The what?
You know, the bleeps.
And I must say about Rick Moranis that he went out of his way to contribute, to add. He was never relaxed or laid back. He was always in the forefront of the creative process, as it were, right on the set. You know, and I love that guy. He's a pleasure to work with.
Jam.
Actually coming through the radar.
Raspberry. There's only one man who would dare give me the...
I like the way he pushed Weiner out of the way. Now we moved in. That was a camera joke, and I've done too many of them in my life. I'm a little ashamed of them when I see them now, but that's when you're an excessive chap like me. You sometimes regret your excesses, and sometimes you're proud of them. It depends on whether the excesses work or not. This was a great shot in space where Barf was letting himself down from the Winnebago into the princess's getaway ship.
Who are you?
Barf!
Not in here, mister. This is the Mercedes.
Nah, that's my name. Barf!
Barf? What are you?
I'm a Mog. Half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
He's a morgue. I like that.
Army to save you. Come on, we gotta hop up this ladder and get out of here.
Good, quick, hurry, darling. Follow the dog.
Morgue. I'm a morgue.
Wait, what about my...
When I see him, when I see John, you know, I haven't seen this picture in a couple of years now. It all comes back to me, and I'm flooded with memories of how sweet and how cooperative and how just damn funny the guy was. And that's a great loss.
Checking in? What the hell is all that?
That was his idea, not to take the strap out of his mouth.
Royal Highness.
He had wonderful ideas like that.
Luggage, huh? What do you think this is, a prince's cruise?
Well, she wouldn't go with that.
Yeah.
We didn't hit him that hard. We put in sound effects to make that.
Now hear this. The minute we get out of here, the first thing we do is dump the matched luggage.
Who is that?
Now you hear this, whoever you are. You will not touch that luggage. And furthermore, I want this pigsty cleaned up. I will not be rescued in such filth.
Listen, on the ship, I don't take orders, I give them. This is my dream boat, sweetheart.
Sweetheart? How dare you speak to me that way?
You will address me in the proper manner as your Royal Highness.
I am Princess Vespa, daughter of Roland, King of the Druids.
Oh, that's all we needed. A Druish princess.
I'm both proud and ashamed of that joke. And I won't take credit for it. I think Ronnie wrote that one. I'm ashamed of Ronnie and proud of myself for leaving it in. In this next scene, her spaceship is taken aboard. Of course, they don't know that she's not in it. They've captured her, and they are amazed at not to find what they've spent. I like his little black tie, by the way. If you notice, we gave him a little black silly tie.
Galaxy. Hold it. I'll handle this.
He's doing James Earl Jones. It's amazing from such a little creature to have such a big voice.
So, Princess Vespa, you thought you could outwit the imperious forces of planet Spaceball. Well, you were wrong. You are now our prisoner, and you will be held hostage until such time as all of the air is transferred from your planet to ours.
She's not in there.
Completely different voice. Drops the whole James Earl Jones CNN, you know, mysticism for a little Jewish creature from the Bronx. I think that hurt him a little bit. That smack on the head was for real.
We better get out of here in a hurry.
Switch to secret hyperjet.
Switching to secret hyperjet.
Buckle up back there. We're going into hyperactive.
Yes. Hyperactive, yes. Another lousy joke that worked.
We're closing in on them, sir. In less than a minute, Lone Star will be ours.
Good. Prepare to attack.
Prepare to attack.
On the count of three. One.
I love the star fields. They're so beautiful.
What happened? Where are they?
One too late. I like that.
We must have hyperjets on that thing. And what do we got on this thing? A Cuisinart?
No, sir. We'll find them. Catch them.
Yes, sir. Prepare ship for light speed.
No, no, no. Light speed is too slow.
Light speed is too slow.
We're going to have to go right to ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah. Ludicrous.
Yeah. What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
Prepare ship! Prepare ship for ludicrous speed! Fasten all seatbelts! Seal all entrances and exits! Close all shops in the mall! Cancel the free-range circus! Secure all animals in the zoo!
Give me that, you petty excuse for an officer! Now hear this! Ludicrous speed!
Sir, hadn't you better buckle up?
Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
I'm enjoying this. I'm sorry. I should be commenting. Yeah, they did that in Star Wars. I loved it, so we did it. So that was light speed, and we went from light speed to ridiculous speed, and then finally to ludicrous speed, which is probably faster than the speed of cash registers. My brains are going into my feet. Another lousy joke.
What the hell was that? Spaceball 1. They've gone to Plaid.
They've gone to Plaid.
We passed them! Stop this thing!
We can't stop. It's too dangerous. We've got to slow down first.
Bullshit! Just stop this thing! I order!
This was a fun sequence. I loved making this. Everybody playing super speed here, and their faces contorted. Emergency stop never used.
Here, let me help you, sir.
He looks like a Spanish...
Fine.
Like a Spanish policeman.
Fine, sir.
Good.
It's a good thing you were wearing that helmet.
Yeah.
What can we do now, sir?
Well, are we stopped?
We're stopped, sir.
Good. Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Very good, sir.
Smoke if you got 'em.
He was terrific.
Take her out of hyperactive.
Take her out of hyperactive. Congrats, boss. We did it. They must overshot.
I'm like a kid. I enjoy that. I enjoy all the space stuff, the hyperactive and the stop and the lines and everything.
I don't know. We're losing power. Why? Because we're out of gas.
Turned it up in hyperactive.
I told you we should have put more than $5 worth in.
Okay, we'll have to set her down.
This was cute.
Emergency landing. Give me a reading. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come. Thy
will you stop that? Keep your seatbelts fastened back there. Your old gate resistance.
Oh, you idiot! We're gonna fly.
Okay, Eagle 5, coming in.
I don't know who he was talking to. Eagle 5 coming in may have just been kind of the coach talking to the team. So he gets into the orbit. Here, now we needed a good mat artist, which we got in the Albert Whitlock crew, who did all these wonderful mat shots for us. Whitlock was the master of the mat painting. This is an amazing composition that they did for us. And finally landing.
Where are you going?
I'm going to tell him off once and for all.
Wait. We'll need him to get us out of here.
Called me an idiot? I'm going back there and explain a few things to her.
Besides, he's got a sexy voice. He might be cute.
Yeah, but wait. You haven't seen what she looks like.
Oh, I know what she looks like. If you've seen one princess, you've seen them all.
Cute? I know these space bums. They're all alike. Fat, ugly...
Bucktooth, knock-kneed...
Fierce-willing pig.
Or space dog.
Yeah, well, normally I... Oh.
That's going to leave a mark.
That's going to leave a mark was his ad-lib.
You listen. On this ship, you're to refer to me as idiot, not you, Captain. I mean, you know what I mean.
And you will not call me you. You will never address me as you. You will call me your Royal Highness.
You are a royal pain in the...
Whoa! Hold it tight!
What?
May I make a small suggestion? Any minute now, the Spaceballs are going to make a major U-turn. Head back this way and make us all dead.
He's right. Let's go.
I love his ears. His ears move while he talks. See his ears? His ears keep moving.
Only
keep
what
moving.
You need to survive.
Nice little growl. So this matte painting turned into an actual shot that we went to Yuma, Arizona, where it's the closest place to Hollywood where you can find actual desert. There's miles and miles of these virgin, untouched dunes.
Please, slow down.
And it was really dry. It was very tough to shoot there because... The accommodations weren't great. I mean, we lived in the motels that had no names. So I think it was called a no-name motel. We had to pay for water. We had to pay for everything. It was terrible. Anyway, we were lucky to find a desert.
And I can't live without it.
Okay, princess, that's it. The fairy tale is over. Welcome to real life. You want this hot air machine? You carry it.
You pick that up.
You.
Bill Pullman was...
Nobody talked.
Was in...
Nobody!
A wonderful Los Angeles stage hit called Barabbas. That's where I first saw him. And, he really is wasted in leading man roles. He's really a talented comedian, but I needed somebody with timing who could be a leading man, and Bill fit the bill. So I'm glad he did it. But he was really better in a picture called Ruthless People, where he played an idiot kidnapper. His name was Earl in that. And I I'm glad he made it. I'm glad he's become somewhat of a star, because he's a hard worker and he deserves it.
No, Lord Helmet. They're still not on the scanner.
Well, keep looking for them.
This is it.
Pardon, sir. I have an idea. Corporal, get me the video cassette of Space.
Now, this concept was one of the truly inventive concepts I'm very proud of all these pictures, but I'm really very proud of this concept that Ronnie and Tom and I came up with.
We're still in the middle of making it. That's true, sir. But there's been a new breakthrough in home video marketing. Yes, instant cassettes. They're out in stores before the movie.
Out in stores before the movie is finished. Yeah.
Here it is, sir. Spaceballs. Good work, Corporal. Punch it up.
By the way, if you like any of the other videos that you've seen on that shelf, I'd appreciate you going out and they're all on sale through now. You can get it for $19.95. Everything helps. I mean, I'm doing this for no money, so the least you could do is buy one or two cassettes. That's Mitchell Bach, by the way, that guy, that technician, watching all of this. Mitchell Bach is just a great guy who's become an assistant director and now a director.
No, go past this.
I love this idea. Isn't it a great idea? We just keep going back and forth in the movie. He's a little embarrassed by that.
Try here. Stop. What the hell am I looking at? When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed it.
When?
Just now. We're at now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
How soon?
Sir!
What?
We've identified their location.
Where?
It's the moon of Vega.
Good work. Set a course and prepare for our arrival.
When?
1900 hours,
by
sir.
By high noon tomorrow, they will be our prisoners.
Oh!
So here we are in the desert. And here is Princess Vespa, played by the lovely, beautiful princess from Berkeley, California.
Oh, thank you. I'm
Daphne Zuniga, whose father was actually a philosophy professor and her mother was a Unitarian minister. She made her professional acting debut in a little feature film called The Initiation. She did a little detour into television as Michael J. Fox's girlfriend on a couple of episodes of Family Ties. And I saw her in Rob Reiner's film, The Sure Thing, and I said, she is good. And when the role of Princess Vespa came up, I immediately said, get this girl, Daphne Zuniga. And the minute I got it, she said, no, it's Zuniga. So since then, I have been calling her Zuniga, which is the way you say Zuniga. You say Zuniga.
Somewhere in the Ford galaxy.
Well, didn't the monks tell you who your parents were?
This scene was shot indoors at the MGM when it was MGM. MGM has gone through some different metamorphoses. It became Lorimar for a brief period, and then MGM became Columbia or Sony. And it's now Sony, and Sony did a very nice job in redecorating it. I must say, in my heart of hearts, I really miss the big MGM sign and the big lion up there, and I miss a lot, you know. I miss my mother, if you want to know. But why get that sidetracked? I mean, if this were, you know, if you were my doctor and this were psychoanalysis, we could really talk. But since it's a letterbox version of the laser disc of Spaceballs, I mean, I'll just go so far with my private thoughts and then I'll try to get myself back, you know, into what I'm supposed to be doing here.
I know now that I must learn to live.
Anyway, we made it at MGM. It was called MGM at the time, and it was great to be at least be part of a movie. One great you know, adventure at MGM before it was all over. Before I was all over and MGM was all over. Yeah. Anyway, at the commissary, in honor of Louis B. Mayer at MGM, they always had matzah. And the matzah would get in your teeth, but it was worth it. So there's the Virgin alarm taking us back into the reality of this movie. And then the wonderful Joan Rivers. Joan was a pleasure to work with. She was just so smart. She never cost us a day's work and an hour's delay, and she was wonderful. She was not in the costume. In the costume was a young woman by the name of Laureen Yarnell, who did a great physical job, and Joan did a terrific job vocally. Now we have some more special effects, and I will make comments as I see fit or as I see unfit. Here we go, a little bit of Lawrence of Arabia. You'll notice that the music, theme-wise, a little touch of it. Built a little tongue for John to hang out of his mouth.
Oil.
A Jewish princess to the end. Hot burning sun again.
I can't go any further. I can't go any further.
We're back in Yuma.
Just one more dune to go. You said that 3 dunes ago. I got no more left. A waiter.
Like.
Check, please. Let's go on. Let's go on.
I love Muskawan.
Oh, my kid.
He hit his head a little too hard, I thought, on that shot. I was very worried about him, but it turned out it didn't bother him a bit. These guys are reminiscent, of course, of some of the little guys you saw in Star Wars who behaved, you know, in the same manner, but we did a couple of switches so that we could make them our own. The casting was done by Lynn Stallmaster and Associates, David Rubin to be exact, and the guy that's always been casting with me right from the beginning, Bill Shepard. And he found a gang of little people, and we were very, very lucky to get the most talented of the little people in Hollywood. Not since The Wizard of Oz has there been so much cuteness on a movie set. And it was a pleasure to hire them because we could put 3 in a room. Saved a lot of money with these guys.
When did we get to Disneyland?
My little Wizard of Oz playback, a little bridge over the River Kwai, a little... Why not? Why not? And now this was a cute idea. There's a mirror underneath that vehicle that's reflecting the sand on either side, so it looks like the vehicle is floating on air. I like this helmet, too. I like cutting out those 2 holes for eyes. It's another one of Terry Marsh's wonderful sets.
What are they saying?
Well, it's obvious they want us to go with them.
This is a remarkable set. He's a bit of a genius, this fellow Terrence Marsh. Like I said, he did To Be or Not to Be and followed with Spaceballs and...
Sure ain't Temple Beth Israel.
Temple Beth Israel.
I think we better follow him.
And he had this terrific statue of this character called Yogurt created for this scene, which is...
Uh-oh. I think we woke it up.
Goodbye, folks. Let me know how it turns out.
Come back here, Doc.
Come on, we gotta keep going.
Thank you.
You'll notice the face on it is a very handsome face, put into a grimace.
What's going to happen now?
To scare these people.
Maybe it won't.
Well, what if it does? I don't know about you, but I'm all for release. I think we get out of here right now.
Oh, good.
Wow!
Silence! Who dares enter the sacred and awesome presence of the everlasting know-it-all?
Recognize the voice of the 2,000-year-old man? Yes, of course.
No.
The only thing missing here is Carl Reiner. I like that little... that exit. I was happy with this creation, right? A little...
You heard of me?
Heard of you? Who hasn't heard of Yogurt?
Yogurt the wise. Yogurt the all-powerful.
Yogurt the magnificent.
Please, please, don't make a fuss.
Terrible joke. I'm just playing. Terrible, terrible
You're
joke.
The one.
Yes.
Bad jokes are good.
I am the keeper of a greater magic. A power known throughout the universe as the...
The Force?
No. The Schwartz.
Shame.
Yes.
Yes, this was a remarkable...
Schwartz.
This little ring with an S. And, when people write to me, if they have photographs of this guy, Yogurt, they have pictures of Yogurt, I always sign, "May the Schwartz be with you," and sign my name. This was a concept I'm kind of proud of, where this whole business of movies making more money on the peripheral aspects of them instead of the story of the characters. Merchandising.
Baseball's the t-shirt. Baseball's the coloring book. Baseball's the lunchbox. Baseball's the breakfast cereal. Baseball's the flamethrower.
Kids love this one.
Last but not least, baseball's the doll. Me.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Adorable.
So here Mel Brooks is playing two parts. First Yogurt, and then I wonder who's going to pop up here. Maybe part two. This was not hard work, folks.
Lightning screw. I have an urgent message from Lord Howard. He's lost the...
I look a little like Charlie Chaplin here.
In the sands of Vega.
Tell him to comb the desert, you hear me? Comb the another, desert!
Yes, sir.
Another incredible visual pun. Here we go.
What?
Are we being too literal?
No, you fool. We're following orders. We were told to comb the desert, so we're combing it.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir. How about you? Not a thing.
We gave Ace a nice plug.
What about you guys?
This is a cute switch. The pick, I like that
pick. Big mystery. None of the wise men could tell me what it means.
Wise men, for sure. Wise guys, you mean. What do they know? Here, let me take a look.
You can read it.
No, I was just clearing my throat. Here, let me take a...
Yogurt was a tough role to play. First of all, I got a terrible rash on my face and neck from wearing the gold makeup. And secondly, my knees were killing me because I was walking with knee pads all the time in every scene. But I loved the character, so, it was all worth it.
Never underestimate the power.
That's what
of
I
the
kept
Schwartz.
Saying to myself every on, night when I took my makeup off. Here Never underestimate the power of the Schwartz. I don't quite understand what's happening here. I think I forgot the movie. Oh, yes. That's right.
You're doing it! You're doing it!
I can't believe it.
George,
it's working!
Yes. Hey, boss! How'd you do that?
Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!
Give me the ring! Give me the ring, quick!
Whoa!
Upsy dashy! Upsy mashy! Upsy dashy!
Upsy dashy!
Cyber.
Did a little, he did a little Three Stooges.
Keep searching.
Anything for a laugh.
It's no use, sir. We're searched everywhere.
Wait. I feel the presence of the Schwartz.
The Schwartz?
Yes. It's coming from somewhere down there. You're right, sir. There's a secret entrance here. And look at this creepy. It's a Y.
When I say nothing, it means I have nothing to say.
Yogurt. I hate yogurt. Even with strawberries.
I'll call for the attack squad, sir.
No. We can't go in there. Yogurt has the Schwartz. It's far too powerful.
But, sir, your ring. Don't you have the Schwartz, too?
No, he got the upside. I got the downside. See, there's two sides to every Schwartz.
Then how are we going to go in there and get her?
I
love that. It changes his voice.
She will come out to us.
Okay, let's find out how he does it. Anyway, when you're on channel A or whatever and you're listening to the movie, you can flip back and forth. There are some times when I am simply bereft of a thought about the movie and I'm just simply watching it like you are.
Daddy?
And I'm quite impressed with the decor and the... the movie cost about $25 million, which was the most to date that I've ever spent on a movie. Dracula, which had a lot of special effects and a lot of big sets and a star or two, did not cost 25, cost about 22 to make. But this one was really the most expensive budget I've ever been involved in. And it was well worth the 25. We got a wonderful look and a terrific cast.
Oh, no, Vespa, don't, Vespa! Ah! No.
Oh. Fool you! Take them both aboard and put the princess in my quarters.
I love Rick's idea of switching his voice to from the James L. Jones motif to this kind of guy from the Bronx. The princess was just stolen away.
Don't worry, Bob.
And now their task is to find her. Now, my first picture was the producers. And the producers cost $941,000 to make. And I did it in 8 weeks. In New York, I begged Zero Mostel to do it, and I didn't have to beg Gene Wilder. He leapt at the opportunity to play Leo Bloom. I loved being in it. I never would have been the actor that you see here if Gene Wilder hadn't deserted me to do his own movies. The first one was a very nice little movie called Sherlock Holmes, Smarter Brother, and Gene just became like a road company Mel Brooks. I mean, he did a wonderful job as a writer, director, and he took John Morris to be his composer, and Terrence Marsh was his production designer. I actually stole Terry from Gene. If he didn't leave me, I wouldn't have become Yogurt and Scroob and all these guys, but I wouldn't have been unhappy about it, I'll tell you the truth, because Gene was kind of like, if Fellini had Alberto Sordi, I had, Mel Brooks had Gene Wilder, and it was a pity.
So, Princess Vespa, at last, I have you in my clutches to have my way with you. The way I want to.
Oh, this scene. Oh, this wonderful scene.
No, you are mine. Not so.
This is all...
Lone Star. Yes, it's me.
This is all made up by Rick Moranis. All I did was tell him the idea. I never even gave him dialogue. And he just made all of this up. This is what the Actors Studio calls a private moment. This is a very private moment. I mean, this guy's crazy.
Strangely attractive.
Of course you do. Jewish princesses are often attracted to money and power, and I have both, and you know it.
Oh, leave me alone.
No, kiss me.
No, no, yes, no.
He gets a little dirty here.
Your helmet is so good. Lord help me!
You need it on the bridge, sir.
Knock on my door! Knock next time!
Yes, sir.
Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls.
Good!
Good. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again. But that whole scene was born in the mind of Rick Moranis. All we did was come up with the idea of Dark Helmet playing with dolls, and he.
I told you never to call me on this wall.
It's an unlisted wall.
Sorry, sir, but it's very important. The princess has just been brought to your office, and Lord Helmet and Colonel Sanders are awaiting you there.
All right, all right. Tell them I'll be right there.
Yes, sir.
Helmet, you fiend! What's going on?
Now, here we are in a scene where...
Permit me to introduce the brilliant young plastic surgeon, Dr.
Philip Schlotkin. Philip Schlotkin is Sandy Helberg, who's a writer, very good writer as well as an actor. And Sandy was first seen as an actor in High Anxiety. He was the guard when I played the 2,000-year-old man with Madeleine Kahn getting through the metal detector. He played the guard in that.
Dr. Schlotkin will give your daughter back.
And this... this is... this is not true. Daphne did not have that nose. And she, to my knowledge, never had her nose touched by anybody.
You're right, my dear.
But those are Dick Van Patten's curls. He wears them late at night, struts around in a long dressing gown, and those. He took those curls back with him. And I know I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm sure Dick wouldn't mind people knowing that he's just a bit of a transvestite, and it doesn't go all the way.
I knew it would work.
Now there's this business of the. I love this. It was a very difficult combination for these to brainstorm past these people. Now let's see, where was I earlier? I was telling you about Gene Wilder, and I miss him very much, and I hope one day Gene and I can get back to doing movies again. Once I have Gene, I won't have to act anymore, because he does that so well. I enjoy making movies. I enjoy writing them. I love the idea of the blank page and filling it properly with inspiration, etc. What I really don't like is directing. Like I said, directing is hard. Directing, you have to hold the actor's hands. You have to convince them that their preconceptions are not exactly what you had in your mind as the writer. And the writing is the best, and acting is fun. Directing is very hard work, and it's hardly. Oh yeah, that's. Sorry, that's the luggage joke I was talking. But you can dial me down and go back to the movie and get the luggage joke. Winnebago.
There it is. Spaceball City, straight ahead.
Good. I'm taking her in.
More special effects, more money, and a good stop. These two guards were fun to work with. The guy on the right, actually screen left, is Tony Griffin. The other guy is Rick Dukeman. And you've seen Rick on a lot of comedy channels, and Tony Griffin has been in a couple of Mel Brooks movies. He's a writer as well. And they're both very talented guys, and they both were a pleasure to work with. And let's see, was that a? I think that was a model that we shook. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of a lot of stuff. I told you, being a director's hard. Anyway, I liked all these sliding doors, and I liked Barf's tail, and...
Warden Miller, you're wanted in B-17.
But you'll notice, folks, it's his tail that gives him away. Watch, we'll turn it up, and you see the tail going around the corner. Couldn't be. Daphne Zuniga was wonderful. It was a very difficult thing for her to do this next... little bit that comes up. She's all alone, she's sorrowful, and she performs this kind of cliche in prison movies that you see on death row.
Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I see.
She's a bitch.
She was great. I asked if she wanted someone to sing for her, and she said, no, I can do it. I can do it.
What do you want?
It's me. It's us.
Oh, I should have reshot that it's me, but I let it go. Bill Pullman won't mind.
We gotta move.
Or, how'd you do it?
It's me was a little over the top. When I made Blazing Saddles, I realized that maybe I had taken the wrong route. Strangely enough, I really enjoyed directing my vision of the producers. I didn't really mind directing the producers because I didn't want anybody else to mangle it. Directors have a way of doing too much with it if they don't write it. This is just a firefight. You can dial me out anytime you want. Anyway, and I did 12 Chairs, which I thought was an important, funny little movie, and I liked it. I didn't mind directing that either. But then when I got to Blazing Saddles, I realized that I was, I was deserting my private muse, and I was getting into, like, big stuff. And that may have been my mistake. I mean, maybe I should have gone on making stuff like The Producers and 12 Chairs and stayed away from this big business of having to fill so many seats and so many theaters. But anyway, I got stuck. Blazing Saddles was a hit, and that was the making and the breaking of me. And then after Young Frankenstein, Gene left me, and I became this phony baloney movie star, like in High Anxiety. And maybe I reduced. I like this scene, by the way. Dial me out and watch this. It's Steve Tobolowsky, but all wonderful actor.
Turn around, please. Ah, what a pity! What a pity! So, Princess, you thought you could outwit the imperious force of? You idiots! These are not them. You've captured their stunt doubles! Search
See, I think that unconsciously Find I've always them. Been...
Find them!
...kind of making fun of movies. And then having to join movies on a real level is embarrassing after you make fun of the process, you make fun of all the nonsense, all the make-believe, and then you gotta join... At one point, you got to join movies as a reality instead of satirizing them.
My hair. He shot my hair.
He shot my hair. I like that line anyway. Tough little girl. Yeah. Great little stuntman.
Oh, shit!
How was that?
Not bad for a girl.
Hey, that was pretty good for Rambo. Let's blow his joint.
So anyway, what am I meandering about? What am I thinking about? What are my maunderings telling us? That movies are fun and hard work. President, when they're fun, they're fun. And when they hard work, boy, are they hard work. 16 hours a day, and then sometimes you got to throw the whole scene out.
Never have that damn thing down in front of me. How do I know you're not making faces at me under that thing?
How's it screwed?
Yes.
Very nice. Plenty of
screwing. See, covered every second.
10,000 years of fresh air.
Boy, he runs things that won't last 100.
What?
Preparing ship for metamorphosis, sir.
Yes.
Good. Get on with it.
Ready, Kafka?
Get it? Get it, folks? Preparing ship for metamorphosis? And then Ready Kafka? I'm a little ashamed of that. The intellectuals hate me, and the people who've never heard of Kafka don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So why am I wasting my time making these crazy movies? Anyway, this was a difficult movie to direct physically because it was very confining, so I couldn't use traveling shots because I was either it was special effects like this, this brilliant shot, or it was I was confined in small spaces and I couldn't really move the camera or do any traveling shots. It was either a master two-shot close-up, you know, and intercut those. The concept of transforming this giant ship into a giant transformer was fun. The kids got it. The adults didn't know what I was talking about.
I'm gigantic!
Made!
With a vacuum! So that's how they're going to get the air out.
It was a good idea. How do you get the air from one planet to another? I don't know. I've never been on another planet but Earth. I think I wanted applause here. That's why I built up the music, but people don't applaud in the middle of a picture, so I must have been nuts.
Metamorphosis completed, sir. Spaceball One has now become...
That's Terry Marsh, by the way, the production designer. Gave him a little part in the movie.
Good. Walk.
Just so he could buy the video and I could make another sale.
Vacuum suck,
yes. Vacuum suck. Let's see what happens here. Yes. Putting your...
Suck.
Well, it seems to be working.
Goodbye, little Vespa.
All the air seems to be leaving Planet Druidia.
Little.
And Dick Van Patten is...
Vespa.
Overacting just a little here, but I paid him to overact. I love that guy. He was great in High Anxiety.
Oh, what do we do?
We gotta act fast. Step one, we reverse the vacuum and blow the air back onto the planet. Step two... We destroy that thing.
But isn't that dangerous?
Extremely. Plus, I don't know how the hell we're going to do it.
What about that ring yogurt gave you?
I liked making this movie because I like the people in it. I don't like directing, like I said, very much because it's not as thrilling as writing. Writing is a thrilling... Writing is... There is nothing, and then there is something. So it's almost godlike. It's really creating. Once it's created, once there is a script, whether it's 300 pages or 150 pages, there's something there to cast. There's something there to design. There's something there to hire a cameraman to film. But it can't equal the power of making something from nothing, from the blank page. When we wrote this, we were actually thrilled. We were like little kids. We figured out a way to get the air back onto the planet so that the king would live. And then we loved the idea of sending a little ship into the ear. So through the ear canal we could get to the brain of this transformer, which was really the Spaceballs monster ship. And you know, it was all interesting stuff. There were great special effects in the movie, and Richard Ratliff was great, and he's been on practically all my movies since Spaceballs. But the special, like the visual effects, were by Apogee, and the guy in charge was Bob Shepard. He did a great job, and the producer was a fellow by the name of Percy Angress. And the motion control guys were Doug Smith and David Hardberger and Matt Beck and John Sullivan. They did a wonderful job in the graphics and the concepts. It was really very effective. And we had to be as good as Star Wars and as good as Star Trek. We had to be just as good as they were. And it was difficult.
I think we just found it.
Where?
The movie got made because of a fellow by the name of Alan Ladd Jr. I met Alan Ladd Jr. when I did Young Frankenstein. Columbia said no to it because it was going to be over $2 million, believe it or not. And our deal with Columbia, Gene Wilder and I had put it together. We wrote the script, and it was Gene Wilder's concept. And I just was so grateful for him stepping in at the last second. He flew out to the coast to play Black Bart's pal, the Waco Kid. We had lost two actors in a row who got sick or couldn't do it, and Gene came in to play the Waco Kid. I was so grateful. He said, I want to do this thing about Frankenstein. I said, anything, Gene, anything. And he came up with this idea of Young Frankenstein, and Gene and I sat down, and we worked very hard to write a script. Actually, the writing was a lot of fun. Gene came out from New York and stayed at the Bel Air Hotel, and we had these cookies called digestives, digestive cookies that were wonderfully, they were weed and ginger, and we had tea, and we worked every day. And then we had this script called Young Frankenstein. We brought it to a friend of Gene's called Michael Gruskoff Jr. Michael Gruskoff Jr.'s pal was Alan Ladd Jr. They had been agents together. And Laddie was just taking over the job of production chief at Fox. So when Columbia looked like it was falling out because we knew we couldn't make it for under $2 million, we took Young Frankenstein to 20th Century Fox. And under the aegis of Alan Ladd Jr., I did one picture after another, and I loved Laddie, and he was a pleasure to work with, and he never said no. And then when Laddie moved over to MGM, I immediately thought of him and took Spaceballs to him, and he immediately said, fine, I'll do it. I love the idea. And he's always very helpful. He'd always say, page 95, I don't agree. I think if you've this character's not real, or he'd have true input. And I miss Laddie very. I miss Gene Wilder. I miss Laddie, you know. I miss my former life. I like my life now, but I miss a lot of aspects of my former life.
Not so fast.
This is a good scene. I'm going to stop for a while and not stop my nattering away, and I'm going to watch this scene because I like this scene.
Before you die, there is something you should know about us, Lone Star.
What?
I am your father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's former roommate.
This is a little Star Wars satire.
Absolutely nothing. Which is what you are about to become.
By the way, we did post-production that really, I'm a little ashamed of the positioning here, but not ashamed of the jokes. But the ILM, which is Lucas's post-production genius firm, Industrial Light and Magic, helped us tremendously, and we did the final mix up there and at this place in San Francisco. Lucas was never offended by the satire. He was very I love doing things off camera.
he did it.
I think that it was really very, very, you know, his largesse was really appreciated. I mean, he was generous with his company and with his own personal feelings. He could have been small and spiteful, but he was very, very big and very generous about the satire.
Twisted. Okay, maybe if I put my leg up on yours, you know, we can split apart like... Good, yeah. Right. One, three. One, two, three, go!
And he was never offended at making fun of these light swords, etc. And he just watched the rough cut with me and was smiling and laughing. He was wonderful and very generous. And some of our inventions, I think, were impressive. Like this.
Oh!
stone on stuff. Yogurt has taught you well. If there's one thing I...
Now, this was a chance to use the camera a little bit.
But if I must... Then
but I think it was really Conrad Buff the Fourth who used the editing as well as I used the camera.
The ring! I can't believe you fell for the oldest trick in the book! What a goof! What's with you, man? Come on! You know what?
What's with you, man?
Oh, look at that! You fell for that, too! I can't believe it, man! So, Lone Star, now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
I believe that. Some of it was Bill Pullman, and some of it was, of course, a stuntman.
Wide world of sports.
Use the Schwartz, Lone Star. Use the Schwartz.
I can't. I lost the ring.
Forget the ring. The ring is Bufkis. I found it in a package I got.
Bufkis is a Yiddish word for nonsense or loose duty or whatever. Something. It isn't a good thing.
Your pals in a win of fate.
I love that. Now.
Thank you for pressing the self-destruct button. This ship will self-destruct in 3 minutes.
That is the voice of Julie Pitcannon, who is a brilliant script supervisor, not an actress, but she helped me out by doing that voice. And I first met her in Blazing Saddles, actually.
Self-destruct in exactly 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
She was nice enough to do the voice. Here we go.
Irreversible. Like my raincoat.
Irreversible, like my raincoat. That really doesn't work. If you listen very closely, irreversible doesn't... Reversible works. This is to show you the size and the activity that happens in this mega spaceship.
I don't know what to do! I can't make decisions! I'm a president!
Yes, it was the time of Nixon, I believe. And of course, Ronnie Graham and Tom Meehan and myself knew that we needed some kind of a penultimate scene that was a kind of a gorgeous finale with a lot of bing bang and ratata and, you know, so we added the music here. And now this is the obligatory penultimate scene where you've got to get away before there is this explosion. Well, as I said, so I'm just going to watch a while and see some of the activity going out. This is another great matte shot. And the matte paintings were Albert Whitlock's company, I believe, but they were done by Sid Dutton and Bill Taylor, who of their own company, Illusion Arts, and they're spectacular. Some interesting ideas, some work, some don't. For me, and maybe for you. I love this shot. I mean, Spaceballs is a very good seller. It sells as a sell-through video. I think young people take it for real as kind of a space fairy tale. And people, you know, of an older age enjoy it as satire.
This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
Cancellation button? Hurry!
Of course we didn't do that. We had a couple of stuntmen do that for us.
Where is it? It's gonna be here. Not a border.
Fuck. Even in the future nothing works.
This ship will self-destruct in exactly 10 seconds. Counting down. 10, 9, 8, 6.
6? What happened to 7?
Just kidding.
There's the other end, yeah. Faster!
This was a exciting. This was exciting. This explosion was sensational. It was a beautiful shot.
We did it!
We all did it.
Now you can see love being born here. Gotta know when to bring up the music, folks. Gotta know when to make it moving and romantic. That is Jack Riley, a wonderful actor. You've seen him on the show with Bob Newhart.
Famed half-man, half-pizza, was found dead earlier today in the backseat of his stretched limo. Evidently, the notorious gangster became locked in his car and ate himself to death.
Silly.
Coming up, Pongo's review of Rocky V, Thousand. Pongo?
Pongo. Pongo was the name of my first dog. The second dog was a female called Purdy. Remember Pongo? From 101 Dalmatians. And so when Pongo passed away at age 15, I got another puppy, and we named that one Purdy, so that Pongo and Purdy could still be part of the 101 Dalmatians. That's why the kids like this. The kids liked it because it was a space fairy tale.
Oh, my darling, I thought I'd never see you.
I liked it because I'm a kid.
Oh, my sweet little daughter, I'm so happy that you're home and safe.
That is Thomas Meehan. Tom Meehan, one of the writers. He thought he'd like to act. We gave him a chance, and after he did the scene, he said, it's very nerve-wracking. It ain't much fun. And you sweat a lot in those costumes. Now, this is a scene, I think, that is pretty damn good. It was an amazing concept, and it was amazing that we got it done.
Hiya, Big Steph. Hi, Dream. What do you have?
We just got a couple minutes while we're gassing up. What's ready?
I can give you the space soup and the space special.
I'll have the
soup. Okay.
I'll have the cleavage. Special.
Okay, one special and one soup.
Wow. Ready to order?
Hi, yes.
We'll both have the Luna fish. So anything to drink? Hey, watch where you're sticking that thing.
Huh? Oh, look, it's got a mind of its own, sweetheart. I can't do a thing with it.
That was John's idea, mind of its own.
What? We were lost. None of us knew where we were.
Okay, here's a nice group of guys, and in the middle you'll see John Hurt. I first met John Hurt when we did History of the World. He played Jesus in the Last Supper scene. And we got along famously, and he said, anytime you do anything at all, call me if I can help. So when I mentioned the alien, and would he recreate that character for me, he said, sure. And this is John Hurt himself recreating the that alien monster scene.
Waitress! What did he order?
Oh, he had the special.
That's what I ordered! I changed my order for the soup!
Cancel my order for the soup. It's great. It was a great little monster. This was made by the alien monster. The alien monster was made by who made it? ILM, Industrial Light and Magic, created it. It's a great little doll. Very scary until he puts on his little straw boater, and then it's wonderful.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by water. Baby, my heart's on.
This was a big success in the movie.
You lose me, honey, you lose me.
The audience actually roared with delight. That's Ira Miller. You see him as the in Blazing Saddles. He is get your pies for the Great American Pie Fight. He's the guy who says that. Ira Miller. Now we are back to the Intergalactic Temple, where one of our writers, you'll see in a minute, is our space priest.
5 minutes to magic time.
Are you all right, my dear? You look a little fighty.
Don't worry about me, Father. I'm completely over him. Huh. Didn't even stay for the wedding. Just grabbed his million space bucks and ran.
He didn't take the million.
He didn't?
No. He just took 248 space bucks for lunch, gas, and tolls.
Ah, revelation. So we need the minute before the happy ending. You need that in every script. You do need the valley before the peak. You need the unhappiness before the happiness. You need the juxtaposition of emotional textures. Oh, and here we are, the juxtaposition.
Yogurt. Hello, boy. Well, you opened your fortune cookie, so here's your fortune. Lone Star. You know that medallion that you wear around your neck, but you don't know what it means? Well, here's what it means. It's a royal birth certificate. Yes, your father was a king. Your mother was a queen, which makes you a certified prince.
Hey, I'm a prince. I'm a prince.
Which means if you hurry, there could be a princess in your future. Now, if you want to get back there before she marries Sleeping Beauty, there's a special can of fuel in your glove compartment. Good luck, boys.
Buy yogurt
and yogurt.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And may the Schwartz be with you.
Overboard is good.
Open that glove compartment. You got it.
Your Highness.
So, we came up with a special can of...
Liquid Schwartz.
Liquid Schwartz.
The emergency tank. Right.
Yeah. It's not easy to plot a movie successfully. We were very lucky with Spaceballs that we found Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3. But we did. We didn't film it until we had it. So you're allowed to do that if you think there's no don't rush a movie into production. Finish the script. You got all the time in the world to do the script before you even try to get the financing for it. Remember Planet of the Apes, folks? That's where we got this idea. Little Planet of the Apes. What that Statue of Liberty was the key to it. We started way back with the giant vacuum cleaner. So that we could get this, there's a little strange things coming out of our nose, but it works.
Dear me, what are those things coming out of her nose?
Hey, watch my helmet.
Now, may I interrupt you at this point?
Sure. Go ahead, Ronnie. What is it?
Well, the next scene is the space wedding, and I played the space priest, if you recall.
Yes.
And I know you hate about directing, but this is the only time I didn't know what to do with these lines, and you gave me readings on every line, and it was very good direction, and I am eternally grateful to you.
Yes, well, I'm eternally grateful for doing the part for scale.
So yes, I did do it for scale, that's true.
So are even.
I didn't like it, but I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I paid you well for writing. I didn't pay you a lot for acting.
Right.
I didn't pay myself anything for acting.
In the bonds of holy matrimony.
See, let's watch you.
Don't you see he loves me?
Excuse me, I'm trying to conduct a wedding here, which has nothing to do with love. Please be quiet.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Be quiet.
I'm sorry.
To join Princess Vespa and Prince Valium in the bonds of holy...
Holy moly. Good reading.
You gave me all this.
That's him. I know it's him. He's come back.
That's it. No more chances, but the short version. Prince Valium, do you take Princess Vespa to be your lawfully wedded wife?
Uh-huh.
Princess Vespa, you take Prince Valium to be your lovely wedded husband.
I suppose. Well, I don't know.
No, she doesn't.
What? Who the hell are you?
Prince Lone Star.
Prince?
I just found out. That's what this says. I'm an honest-to-God prince.
Will you marry me?
Well, let me think about it. Yes.
I'm sick of this. I don't give a damn who it is, but I'm going to marry somebody today. Who are you?
I'm the best man.
What's your name?
Barf.
Your full name?
Bartholomew.
Are you the one that's getting married?
No.
Then get over there.
I like that.
Okay, here we go. The short version. Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Good. You're married. Kiss her.
I love you.
I love you.
Traditional but good. Traditional but fun. Traditional, that was a perfectly shot kiss, and I cut to Ronnie for his smiling approval.
Well, goodbye, Virgin Alarm.
Music. Music, we should be fading out, and we are. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed the movie. Every once in a while, if you wanted to dip in for some comment, it's quite all right with me. I don't mind doing this. I think there's a couple of people out there that might get a kick out of it. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing it. I haven't seen the picture in a year or two, and it was very nice to see it again. Anyway, as a 2,000-year-old man would say, goodbye and good luck.
And you haven't got